What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
We should be bold and audacious in talking about it.
God is pro-sex. Sex begins in heaven.
They were shouting it from the rooftop. The first place to have that talk is in the home. The second place is the church.
Right here.
Well, that's Pastor Ed Young, Fellowship Church down in Dallas, Texas. Big church, big influential church. And a couple of years ago, they did their sex experiment. They turned it into a book. This year, they're doing it again. It was 30 days of sex. Then they realized that was a little ambitious. They reduced it to 7 days of sex, and they want a sex movement in the church. There's no two ways about it. They were talking there with ABC News on the roof of their Dallas area church. They're up there for 24 hours in the cold. It's not that cold, but they're up there in the cold in bed. They actually have almost a little set. They've got nightstands, lamps, they've got the bed, they're under the covers, and they're greeting and meeting with the press up there on the roof of their church to promote their book, Sexperiment, also to kick off this experiment at their church. And then at the same time, Mark Driscoll, who is famous in his own right, he and his wife also have a book out on sex. It's called Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together. And some people are calling it rather explicit sex manual for Christians. And I know some of this is just there for publicity. Some of it's just there to get people stirred up. What do you make of this? I've watched this now as host of this program for, well, the better part of a decade. Just about once or twice a year, somebody decides that the church hasn't talked enough about sex. They all come to this realization. The church has never said anything about sex. The church has never said anything except don't do it. The church has portrayed sex as a sin and wrong. And so they take it upon themselves, whether it's Ed Young or Mark Driscoll, to correct the record, to say what God has to say about sex. And so we get these, and it's not just these churches, but they will sell this program to your church if you want to do it too, a sex movement in the church. Now, we're going to hear the story from ABC News, and then I want your reaction to the sex movement in the church, the sex experiment, and Mark Driscoll's new book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together. By the way, Ed Young's book is called Sex Experiment, 7 Days to Lasting Intimacy with Your Spouse. The main point of it is that you have to have sex 7 days a week. And when you do that 7 days straight, it almost has a sacramental quality if you hear Ed Young talk about it, and you'll hear him do that in this ABC News piece. Our call-in number, we're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 15th of February, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your reaction. We've left space for you at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. This was on Nightline last night, ABC News, talking about the sex movement in the church.
We begin tonight with a whole new look at sex and several religious leaders who have strong opinions on the subject. These pastors say not only is sex not a sin, if you're married, it's an important way to glorify God. And according to them, it's all right there in the Bible. Here's ABC's Dan Harris for our series, Faith Matters.
Why is a bed being loaded onto the top of this church in Grapevine, Texas? Because the devout evangelical congregation here is mounting an elaborate bed-in, modeled on the one first put on in 1969 by those countercultural icons, John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The stars of this racy bit of redux, Pastor Ed Young and his wife, Lisa.
God invented it. We should be bold and audacious in talking about it.
They're up here for 24 hours talking about one of their favorite topics, sex.
God is pro-sex. Sex begins in heaven.
They were shouting it from the rooftop. The first place to have that talk is in the home. The second place is the church.
Right here.
So a few hours in, they invited me to put on a harness.
This isn't part of the whole sex thing, is it?
No. Okay.
Take a ride in a crane.
Morning.
And join them, not in the bed, but right beside it.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Should I call you John and you Yoko? How's this work? Yeah. Nice to meet you. So are you guys going to be...
No.
No. No hanky-panky.
All right, we'll get back to the story from ABC News here in just a minute. We're listening to this story from ABC News Nightline. They're first going to talk with Ed Young and his wife on top of their church where they're in bed for 24 hours promoting Ed's new book called Sexperiment, 7 Days to, well, More Better Intimacy in Your Marriage. And they'll later talk with Mark Driscoll about his book on marriage and sex. I think it's a sex movement. I think it's based upon almost complete ignorance of what the church has historically taught and said about sex. First of all, it's asserted that the church hasn't said anything about sex, or what it said about sex is that it's simply a no-no, or that it hasn't addressed the issue of husbands and wives. It hasn't addressed any of those things. Now it's up to Ed Young and Mark Driscoll to correct the record. Now, what Ed Young likes to talk about is how God invented sex, and if God invented it, then we ought to be talking about it. God invented a lot of things. He invented a lot of things. And some of them have their right place, being talked about in public by the church, and some of them have the right place behind closed doors. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's Audio Open Lines, Wednesday afternoon, the 15th of February, here on Issues Etc. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or leave your reaction at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
This whole stunt is designed to publicize their new book called The Sexperiment, in which they challenge Christian married couples to have sex every day for a week.
Do you think in the Christian world there's a hang-up on this issue?
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely.
According to the Youngs, for too long, Christians have been unenthusiastic and unimaginative about sex. They don't call it the missionary position for nothing.
God is pro-sex. He wants us to talk about it. And I think for far too long, the church has been very, very shy to talk about what God was not shy to create.
They say they're trying to reclaim sex from a popular culture that has perverted it.
And the sad thing is that our culture is throwing all these cues, all these words, all these pictures of what sex is, and it's not working out well for marriages.
What a lot of people may not know is that sex is discussed all over the Bible.
Sex primarily is for recreation. It's for pleasure. It's for fun. Secondarily, for procreation.
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible says that.
While the Youngs insist their book is about improving marriages, it's not a sexual how-to guide.
So you're not saying to people, here's where you can go buy pink fuzzy handcuffs?
No.
No.
Up in Seattle, Pastor Mark Driscoll and his wife Grace just published a book that comes pretty close to being a how-to guide.
So we'll just tick off a few of them. Where do you come down on oral sex in the book?
The Bible seems to speak of it on a few occasions and recognizes it as an acceptable aspect of marriage.
Does the Bible say anything about anal sex?
No, it doesn't.
So where do you come down on that?
It's not a sin. It might not be healthy and good. So we wouldn't generally recommend it, but you can't say that it's a sin because it's not in the Bible.
All right, that's Mark Driscoll. We'll hear more from him in just a minute. He's also written a book. You guessed it, about marriage and sex. Mostly about sex, though. So, do you think this is a sex movement in the church? What do you make of Ed Young's assertion? Did you hear him say that? That he said, without referencing any particular Bible passage, he said that God made sex primarily for recreation, and then only secondarily for procreation. Now, if that sounds odd to you, and if you're a listener to Issues, Etc., it's because we have been beating the drum here for a long time with various guests that when you make sex primarily about recreation and not about procreation, then everything gets turned around. But Ed Young seems to have bought into the cultural axiom. The cultural wisdom that sex is for fun and then only secondarily, only as a byproduct for raising children, but it's mostly about having fun. It's mostly, as he says, about recreation, not recreation. not procreation. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc.
Where does the book come down on masturbation?
The Bible doesn't say anything about it, which is kind of interesting because I'm assuming it's an old issue, you know.
But not everything is a go, says Pastor Mark.
No pornography.
No pornography.
But there's nothing in the Bible about pornography.
Well, it's about lust. If a husband and wife have deep, you know, interest in each other, that's a good thing. If somebody else is involved, then it's a bad thing.
And if you are a minor, you should get your parents' permission.
Mark Driscoll was already considered one of the most controversial pastors in America.
How dare you? Who in the hell do you think you are?
With a history of saying things criticized as being chauvinist and sexist.
I greatly desire to be led by my husband, but often I feel like I am not easy to lead. Grace, do you have any pointers?
I've definitely been difficult to lead at times as well.
But this new book is being called the most provocative sex book ever written by an evangelical.
This critic writes, this book is an astoundingly unbelievable work of disrespect for women. What do you think he's basing the sexist argument on? Your argument that the Bible says that the man is the leader in the household?
Yeah, I would guess so. But it goes on to say that the man is the leader like Jesus is a leader. Humble, sacrificial, patient, gracious, loving, and kind. And so you got to say all that the Bible says, and then it gets a lot better.
We'll hear a little bit more in just a minute. I want your reaction to this ABC News Nightline story on the sex movement in the church, whether it is Ed Young with his wife in bed on the roof of their church for 24 hours selling their book, Sex Experiment, 7 Days to Lasting Intimacy with Your Spouse, or Mark Driscoll that we're hearing from now, his book, latest, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, as though the church has never had anything to say about the truth regarding sex, friendship, life together. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana, Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Sex primarily is for recreation. It's for pleasure. It's for fun. Secondarily for procreation.
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible says that.
That's Ed Young, his new book, Sex Experiment, 7 Days to Lasting Intimacy with Your Spouse. He is promoting it with his spouse in bed
on top of their church. It's a publicity stunt. It's silly. But I think it heralds something, a sex movement in the church. Mark Driscoll is cashing in, too, with his book called Real Marriage. We heard from him from ABC News Nightly. We'll hear a little bit more during this Audio Open Lines Wednesday, February the 15th. We're coming to you live. It is true that baby boomers think they invented everything. Ignorant of and disdainful of those who came before them, which is one of the hallmarks of the baby boom generation, when they find that they can still enjoy a sex life with their wife well into their 50s, they think they invented it. And they got to tell everybody else how to do it, because the rest of us have been living in this darkened age where the church has never said anything about sex. And none of the rest of us know about it yet. And for him to say that sex is primarily for recreation, for fun, for pleasure, and only secondarily about procreation, do you think that turns the entire biblical view of sex on its head? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. First up, David's listening in Kansas City. Hi, David.
Hi, Todd. I was just listening to this interesting commentary here and seeing that there's almost like a double or a triple misinterpretation here. First of all, we're looking at the fact that, they say they want to correct the perversion of sex. Well, they're using the media's techniques of trying to combat the perversion by doing the same thing that the media does, trying to make it look cool. You know, we don't do this to try to make sex look cool. You know, it is, yes, God gives us the command to be fruitful and multiply, and yes, there are passages in 1 Corinthians 7 where it says to, when partners, couples refrain from it for a bit for prayer, to come back but not neglect each other, you know, but then again, our Lord has certain times. Here's the other misinterpretation. It's eisegesis. They're trying to make read into Scripture what their movement is all about. Scripture does speak about it, and we see it in our lectionary when it comes up in the appropriate time so that we can read what Scripture truly has to say in the way of the law and the gospel on terms of sex in glorifying Christ.
David, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. Here's Joe in St. Louis. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. It seems to me, I haven't read the guy's book, but it seems that their fundamental problem is making sex an end in and of itself, as opposed to sex being, in the context of marriage, a picture of something greater than what it is. And when you do that, you're going to distort it or pervert it, and the same could be done with any bodily function, you know, eating or drinking or something like that. Christ or God could have created us to reproduce asexually. He could have created us to be self-sufficient and not need food or water, but he didn't. He gave us these things, I would think, to be a picture of something greater, and in this context, a picture of Christ and the church. Thanks.
Joe, thanks very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Don in California says, not having read any of their material, I can't comment on the full scope of their program, but certainly what was shown in the clip was a bold step in the right direction of reclaiming one of God's gifts. I disagree. Even more fundamentally than that, I disagree that it needs to be reclaimed. I don't think it's ever been lost. Does the culture have its particular way of promoting its view of sex? Of course it does. And the church has a biblical way of talking and learning and knowing about sex. Ed Young seems to have adopted the culture's way.
In the first chapter, the couple shares a searing account of their bitterly unhappy and largely sexless early marriage. Problems they later learned were due to a sexual assault that Grace had suffered as a teen.
So there have been some critical readers of that first chapter. This is a quote.
Grace is often cast as the damaged and sinful wife who withholds sex from her deserving husband.
I wouldn't have expected that response. I had brought baggage from my sexual assault into the marriage, and so I perceived things a certain way.
You don't believe then, as sometimes has been sort of imputed to you, that a wife should be available to do pretty much anything the husband wants?
No. Marriage is about lovingly serving one another, but when there's one domineering over the other, you've really got an abusive situation. That's exactly what we want to avoid.
The Youngs, too, insist this is not about women being forced to be more sexually available to their husbands. It is, they say, about starting a sexual revolution.
And the way this revolution would look like, from your view, is married men and women having a lot of sex.
Yes.
And therefore having
great sex.
Can't believe I'm sitting on the top of the church listening to somebody talk about great sex.
This revolution may be a little bit awkward, but it is high time, they say, to bring God back into the bed. For Nightline, this is Dan Harris in Grapevine, Texas.
I just don't know when he was ever excluded from the bed. I don't think the church has ever in anything that it said or failed to say about sex said that God should be excluded from the marriage bed. In fact, I think the church's voice on this has been rather consistent, giving it its proper place. But notice again what Ed Young, he wants to start a sexual revolution, another one. The first one turned out so well, after all, didn't it? He wants to start a sexual revolution that basically looks like married couples having great sex. That's what Ed Young wants. Priority number one from a guy who has the ear of a lot of people. Tad says, I love how the answer to certain questions by Driscoll was, well, it's not in the Bible. This type of answer is the reasons for so many false teachings, I feel. If the Bible says nothing about heroin, am I to assume it's not a sin? Tad, good thinking. Andy in Wisconsin says, instead of worrying about bringing God into bed and telling him where he should be, shouldn't we be present where he actually is? That is in his word and sacrament. Smartest listeners in radio, thanks for listening in Wisconsin. Listening in Florida, Mark says, here's a good example of the need for us to be wise in meeting people where they are. What's most concerning is that sex is being used to tantalize people who find no interest in the gospel. That's a great point. Or to find God's word, who find God's word passe. What good is great sex even with God in the bed if couples don't have great love in Christ and a great love for Christ? Well put. Ryan says in Illinois, I think that Driscoll is writing is pretty much on task. Doing the sleep in on a roof is just exhibitionism, though. There is a positive dimension to sex from a Christian and biblical perspective, and it should be addressed by pastors in some context because it is an integral part of the married relationship. In fact, Ed Young would say it's the most important part of a married relationship, which is an interesting take, too. That's not how the Bible presents it. Sex is for fun, and it's the most important part of your married relationship. Ergo, the most important part of your married relationship is having fun in bed. At least he's consistent. Ryan goes on to say, our society gives a million different perspectives that aren't always godly. We can go too far in addressing these issues, yes, but should it be done from the pulpit? Debatable. But it is relevant for the Christian life, of course, and we have a different perspective on sex than the culture teaches. I think that's always been true. And we certainly would teach what the Bible says married sex should be, and we should respect it enough to keep the intimate details of our own relationship between individual husbands and wives. Yeah, that's why they put doors on bedrooms. Charles in Maryland says primarily recreation and secondarily procreation. Wow, Genesis 1 and 2 are focused on secondary issues. That's new to me. Thank you very much, Charles, and thanks for listening in Maryland. I said it before. We're just going to have to wait for the baby boom generation to work its way out of this generation before we can maybe have a respite from some of this silliness. Ted Haggard, a couple years ago, this was before he fell into sexual scandal, oddly enough, was interviewed by the news. I remember talking about it during Audio Open Lines once, and he asserted that what the press didn't know about evangelicals, the best-kept secret about evangelicals is that they have great sex. Better sex than unbelievers. That is not the church's claim to fame. The church's message should not be, hey, we're not prudes. hey, we like sex too. We do it too. That we're ordinary human beings. I don't think that has ever been the church's message, that we don't do it, that we don't like it, that we think it's all sinful. Never has been. That's a mischaracterization. But the church's message is not about the union of husband and wife. There are things in the Bible about the union of husband and wife that are marvelous, and we should teach them. The church's message is about the union of Christ and church. And I think one of our listeners put it well, so well, that it is the sexual relationship given to us, rightly received as a gift from God, is intended to point towards something greater, better, more beneficial than itself, to Christ's love and sacrifice for the church. That is not part of this new sex movement. When we come back, hour two of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.